Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 100th episode of Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, can you believe it's been 100 episodes?
I really can't, Mike. I mean, you think of all the great shows in TV history, Gunsmoke, Seinfeld, Days of Our Lives. We're finally in those triple digits now along with the rest of them. So,
all right.
It's something else. And you and I, we've talked a lot of Packer football this season. To be at this point already, it feels like just yesterday we got started.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks to all the viewers out there for sticking with us all season. And we hope certainly the season continues to go beyond this week as the Packers get ready for an NFC North winner-take-all showdown, you might say, at Ford Field in Detroit. And on Wednesday, we heard from quarterback Aaron Rodgers, as we normally do on Wednesday during the week. And a thought that I think we've seen the physical evidence of it on the field, but it was nice to hear Rodgers verbalize it. That is that he really feels like he's getting healthy at the right time. He's continuing the rehab on the hamstring and the calf and whatnot. But certainly his play last Saturday against the Vikings showed no real ill effects from those injuries, and he also has not apparently had any setbacks along the way either.
That's the big key, Mike, is the setbacks. When you go back to 2014, had the setback, re-aggravated the calf injury. That's the biggest thing with those muscle strains and tears is what you do to it, and not really knowing when it's 100% healthy. It's not like a bone. You can't just take an x-ray of it and be like, okay, you're good to go.
Right.
There's a lot more of communication involved between the training staff, the doctors, and Rodgers as far as how he's feeling. And for him to get through this stretch without having a setback with it, extremely important. And, you know, him being able to do a Lambeau leap last weekend, too, I have to imagine that also was a pretty good sign for where he is with that injury.
Yeah, no question about it. And he also talked about the idea of being in the zone, sort of that athletic zone that that players of all sports can get into once in a while. He had talked about after the Vikings game sort of feeling like right from the first quarter, right from the very first throw that he made against Minnesota, that everything was, visually slower, more clear, all of that. He invoked the Kobe Bryant 81 points, the Michael Jordan 63-point game in the Boston Garden in the playoffs, those kinds of things. And, boy, if Aaron Rodgers can somehow find that zone again, it certainly would bode well for the Packers.
You know, there's a lot of great NFL players out there. Tom Brady, jumps to the top of the list. You think about Calvin Johnson in his prime and some of these guys more recently. You can find it at any position. But when Aaron Rodgers is in the quote-unquote zone, you really are hard-pressed to find a better football player and a really better athlete. In playing mistake-free football, I mean, you could talk about the big throws. You could talk about, making the big, play on third down. But when you reduce the mental errors, you reduce the mistakes, 206 consecutive pass attempts without an interception, no interceptions, during this five-game winning streak, even going back to the Washington game. It's tough to find at that position where the ball's in your hand, play in and play out, mistake-free football like Aaron Rodgers has played. And again, I think when you talk about this run the Packers have been on, it's the turnover margin. It's the fact that they've been getting takeaways defensively and not been giving the ball away offensively. And here they find themselves in a winner-take-all now game for the NFC North.
Yeah, I think the most impressive thing to me about Rodgers' interception-free streak here that goes back to the Tennessee game was the last time he threw an interception. And I'm not trying to jinx anything here, Wes. Jordy Nelson jokingly was accusing reporters of trying to jinx Rodgers' interception-free streak by talking about it on Wednesday. But I think the thing that's most impressive to me about it is I can only remember one throw over this stretch that was really in danger of being picked off. He tried to force one a little bit to the end zone in Chicago over to his left to Nelson when Jordy was one-on-one, and the Chicago Bears defender had a great shot at it, but the ball was, towards the boundary, would have been really tough to pick it off and stay in bounds. That's really the only throw that I can recall that even seems like it was in danger of being picked off, and that really stands out to me.
this tunnel vision that Rodgers gets into. This stretch right now, Mike, it reminds me a lot of how he began the 2015 season. You remember all those conversations and the narrative started developing of, hey, can Aaron Rodgers go a whole season without throwing an interception? I think it ended up being about 5 or 6 games he went without a pick.
Right.
It's one thing to be able to have a 206, you know, consecutive attempt streak without an interception, but I'd be curious to see how many times Rodgers has had these sort of episodes during his career. I was playing Madden football a couple nights ago, and I threw a pick six. I wasn't even playing all Madden mode. I think I was playing all pro.
Okay.
Not even the highest level, Mike. I threw a pick six. I think Aaron Rodgers has one pick six his entire career.
Yeah, his entire career.
How he protects the football, and even when he does potentially get picked off. Remember, one of his interceptions this year was off a Hail Mary at the end of a half.
Right.
It's amazing to me how he plays this game on a week-in and week-out basis. The Packers need him to keep playing that way. Can't stop now. And I think that was one of the things Rodgers said, too, is that they've played well these last 5 weeks. They needed to continue now against Detroit.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so as not to tempt fate any further with regards to the interception-free streak, we will end that discussion there and throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, shifting gears to the defensive side of the ball for the Packers. An interesting statistic, anomaly maybe you might say, looking at the Packers' defensive backfield, the cornerback position in particular, if you had told me at the beginning of the season that we'd be heading into Week 17 and only one cornerback for the Packers would have suited up for every game, I wouldn't have necessarily believed you, because that's a position that is so young for Green Bay. You wouldn't think right. You would maybe deal with as many injuries at other spots. But B, that guy would be Ladarius Gunter, the guy who came into the season having hardly played as a rookie, as an undrafted rookie the year before, and came in as the number 4 cornerback. He's the guy who's been healthy all year long and certainly has shown the growth and the progress as a result of it.
You're the math guy, I'm not. But I did do some math. A 9,850% increase in snaps this year defensively for Ladarius Gunter. Played 8 defensive snaps during the regular season. He did get 31 against Washington in the playoffs last season, but
right.
8 defensive snaps. And I remember sitting down with him during the offseason talking about his goals for this year. His goal wasn't, you know, I want to have 5 interceptions or he wanted to be active for every game this season. And as fate would have it, Sam Shields suffers that concussion the first game of the year against Jacksonville, and now Gunter has started 14 games at that position, the last 14. And by all accounts, he had that elbow injury he left Saturday's game against the Vikings with, but it looks like he's going to play through that.
Yep.
Was a full participant in practice Wednesday, in position now to finish this season as having played the most defensive snaps of any cornerback on the roster, almost 800 at this point. It's really incredible. And says a lot about Ladarius Gunter that he's been up for that challenge after really not playing at all as a rookie.
Yeah, and that's the position. I know we've talked all season long about running back and all the shifts and adjustments the Packers have had to make there. But the cornerback position has been hit by injuries all season long. Shields in week 1, Demarius Randall, Quentin Rollins with groin injuries. A lot of shifting around, a lot of moving parts. And let's face it, Gunter, he's had a couple of rough games.
Yep.
He hasn't been, he hasn't had the smooth season that he would have hoped with getting all this playing time. But we've also seen him really step up in some key situations and make some important plays. And, I mean, really the growth that he has shown from the beginning of the season to where he is now, there's been some growing pains along the way, but you have to believe it's paying off now as the Packers hit this stretch run.
I had a chance to ask both Micah Hyde and Demarius Randall about him in his game this year, and I think what often gets overlooked when you talk about, you know, how he's played at certain stretches is how often he's had to match up against the number one receiver
of
the opposing team. You think of Odell Beckham, the job he did on him. He saw, you know, Dez Bryant, you know, he took on Julio Jones. These are the best receivers the NFL has to offer, and he's been the guy standing, you know, between them and the end zone at a lot of points this season. That's not an easy task to have. But, you know, Joe Witt's talked about it a lot, too. And one of the biggest things that Gunter said that really made a difference for him this season is Joe Witt sat him down at the beginning of the year and said, we trust you. We trust you in this defense. You just go out there and play the way that we know you're capable of playing. Gunter said that that was a big relief for him, getting that talk, that pep talk, and understanding that, you know what, I'm going to go play my game. I'm not going to try to be anybody else. Sure, I mean, he was an undrafted free agent. Yeah, he didn't come in with a lot of acclaim, a lot of, you know, real buzz.
Right.
But so did Sam Shields. So I think the thing for Gunter is understanding I'm where I'm at right now, and I'm here for a reason. And think about it, Mike. You were talking about some of the rough patches he had to work through. Mentally, he had to get past that because a lot of times there really wasn't a next man up. It was undrafted rookies
right.
that were the next guys up.
You're right. The Packers didn't have any other options, and that's what I was going to say to your point. The mental makeup of this young player is really impressive because when you talk about the tough assignments he's been given, out of necessity, they had to put him up against some number one receivers from other teams. There were some bad matchups there because he's not a speed burner as a cornerback. If he gets matched up against a receiver whose primary attribute is speed, that's a tough matchup for him. And he's been thrown into some tough situations that way. But his mental makeup to shake it off and keep getting back out there and doing what he's doing and to have the confidence to make the plays that do come his way. And, I mean, I'm sure, you know, you think back to Atlanta. He maybe had a chance for that interception off of the blitz call that might have won that game for the Packers. But even after that, he just shakes it off and moves on to the next one. And that it's a veteran mentality being shown by a young player, and that really bodes well for him and his future.
Yeah, and Joe Witt had said earlier this season, I didn't even thought about it until that point, that he does remind him a lot of Devon House. He doesn't run as fast as House ran, but in terms of his length, his size, his arm length, very similar players for that press man type of defense, and that's his game. He wants to get his hands on the opposing receiver and make it difficult for them to get in and out of their route and mess up their timing. That's when Ladarius Gunter's at his best. And I think one thing the Packers feel good about going in this final stretch of the season now is Demaryius Randall is getting healthier. Quentin Rollins is getting healthier. Now you can not only have those guys available, but have them playing strict, specific positions, practice at those positions, and play at them on Sunday. That's a big key for this defense.
Yeah, practicing together, much like Mike McCarthy talks about with an offensive line.
Yeah.
The group that practices and plays together all the time is going to perform better. And that goes for defensive backfields, for cornerbacks. There's so much communication and shifting, into different positions and things like that. And hopefully it pays dividends for Green Bay here for the stretch run. But with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, a quick injury update here as far as what we know at this point heading into Sunday's Packers-Lions game. Wide receiver Randall Cobb for Green Bay did not practice on Wednesday, still dealing with the ankle injury. So we will see as the week progresses whether he's able to get back on the practice field or not. A big injury update in my mind coming out of Detroit is that cornerback Darius Slay returned to practice for the Lions on Wednesday on a limited basis with the hamstring injury. But the fact that he's back out there on Wednesday after having missed the Monday night game against the Cowboys, that's a big step for Detroit's defense. As we talked about on the show earlier in the week, I think he's the difference maker on defense for the Lions, and we'll see if he's out there on Sunday, and if he is, how close he is to full strength with that hamstring.
Mike McCarthy showed him a lot of respect during the Wednesday news conference that he had, saying that he is an outstanding football player, and much like the Packers had to go through without Sam Shields, your defense is different when you don't have your top guy, when you don't have your shutdown corner. Darius Slay's that guy. And we talked about that earlier this week in terms of what he can do for their secondary, what he can do to the opposing passing game, and how he can disrupt the top receivers in this league. I'm sure if you talk to Jim Caldwell and that coaching staff, they were excited to see him back on the field. Those hamstring injuries are tricky, and you got to make sure that you're smart with it, you know, because an aggravation there can knock you out weeks. So I'm sure there's the cost-benefit analysis is being ran with those guys trying to figure out what the best plan of action is for him. But getting him back on the field, if you're the Lions, I'm sure they were smiling a little bit to see him out there.
Yeah, for sure. Also for the Lions, linebacker DeAndre Levy, whose workload after really what amounts to a year and a half or almost 2 years off because of injuries, his workload continues to increase. He came back a few weeks ago, played about 15 snaps. Jim Caldwell said then they doubled it the following game to 30 snaps. He's still on the injury report, but practicing on a limited basis. And I've always felt there have been a couple of Packers-Lions games that I've seen over the years where I thought Levy was the best player on the field. Now, with the layoff that he's had, it's hard to imagine him getting back to that level this quickly. But again, another emotional and playmaking type of guy for Detroit's defense. And then on the offensive side, Theo Riddick, their sort of all-purpose running back, both in the running game and the passing game, still not back at practice due to a wrist injury,
yes.
I believe it is. Yeah, so some good news and bad news for Detroit as far as the injury situation.
Yeah, when you look at Levy, I mean, the thing that impresses me the most about him, he kind of reminds me of Sean Lee in a way, in how he affects that defense. And Lee's gone through a bunch of injuries now, too, to play at a Pro Bowl level the past 2 years. I don't think he's missed a snap this year for Dallas. And working Levy back into this thing, trying to get him really situated in that defense, it's going to take time. But when he's healthy, he's one of the top inside backers in their version of the inside linebacking position,
right.
I think, in the NFL. And give a lot of credit to Tahir Whitehead, too. I mean, you mentioned Ladarius Gunter having to step up this year. That's sort of been what Whitehead's had to do, too. And I think he has over 120 tackles this season. So doesn't have the same skill set as Levy, but I mean, still a very talented guy there too. That's had to take on a pretty big role. Riddick, there's no replacing him. So I mean, if he's not there, there isn't another guy that steps up. I mean, there'll be guys that they'll try to do what they can, but his skill set is so different than really anybody else they have on the roster.
Yeah, he really is a guy that you literally have to replace with multiple players, because yes, you can have Zach Zenner in the backfield in terms of running the football, but Zach Zenner won't be the receiving threat with the speed and the elusiveness that Riddick would have out of the backfield. So another injury situation there to keep an eye on for the Lions. But with that, let's go to another quick break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Wes Hodkowitz there, Mike Spofford right here. And Wes, something we heard from Mike McCarthy on Wednesday that I have to admit I hadn't even thought of it or it hadn't even occurred to me was that the Packers now, as they prepare to go to Ford Field for Sunday night's NFC North title game, Green Bay hasn't played an indoor game since the final weekend of October in Atlanta. And we've been talking, obviously, all these weeks about the cold weather and the snow and these outdoor games and whatnot, and it just hadn't occurred to me that it had been this long since Green Bay had played indoors, where just, you know, the surface, the environment, the crowd noise, everything like that is so different. Ford Field, obviously, a place the Packers visit every year, but it's literally been 2 months since they played a game inside. It's part of the preparation this week to get everybody kind of back into that, okay, what's this going to feel like?
Yeah, it was funny, too, because Mike McCarthy's being pelted and asking, you know, six different ways from Sunday how to, you know, they're going to handle this week, and, are you going to have them watch the Washington game? What's the day going to be like? And McCarthy kind of said, we're just worried about that dome, because when you go 2 months without playing in that environment, it just adds one more curveball to what has been a really strange 2016 season for the Packers, a year that started in the 90-degree heat of Florida, is going to end in, as he said, the dry air and having to deal with the hydration factors that go in with playing in a dome. This training staff has been challenged this season to make sure that these guys are ready and healthy for this. At the same time, if you were to have one performance offensively in a dome, I would think that it was probably pretty positive what you guys were able to do in the Georgia Dome against the Falcons. That's sort of where this whole resurgence with the offense kind of started. It was small, it was gradual, but if you go back to that game, considering I don't think they had Randall Cobb against the Falcons, they were able to play pretty well. So how much they harken back to that, we'll see. But certainly it's going to be something they're going to have to think about this week when they're getting ready inside the Don Hutson Center.
Yeah, the biggest thing I always notice, and it goes along with things that we hear from Aaron Rodgers and from offensive linemen when playing in a dome on the road, there's an advantage to the pass rush on the defensive side because of the crowd noise, because of the fast surface, all of those things. It's that half step or quarter step that the pass rushers get as an advantage on the visiting offensive linemen. The Packers' offensive line, as we've talked about, especially at the tackle positions, the protection on the edges for Aaron Rodgers with Brian Bulaga, David Bakhtiari, has been outstanding all year. And the Lions don't have a big-time sack guy this year. You know, Ziggy Ansah only has a couple of sacks. They no longer have Ndamukong Suh and some of those other defensive linemen that have been the foundation of that defense for so long. But this becomes a really big challenge for the Packers' offensive line to really continue the type of play that they've provided, the type of protection they've provided for Aaron Rodgers in this environment with so much on the line, and when you know it's going to be so loud and so noisy in there, especially if the Lions get off to any kind of a good start.
Absolutely. Well, one good sign for the Packers is Brian Bulaga was practicing on Wednesday, left Saturday's game against Minnesota with that shoulder injury, didn't return. So the fact that he was a full participant back on the field, at the time we're taping this, we'll have to see what he does in Thursday's practice with the padded work, but the great sign for him to be back, and that's going to be really important for this game. As you said, Ansah only, I think, with two sacks this season, been dealing with that, I think it was a high ankle sprain for most of the year that's been limiting him. That's been something to keep an eye on, but they've gotten contributions throughout the board, though, too. I mean, you look at Kerry Hyder, he has eight sacks. A'shaun Robinson has two sacks this year. Kyrie Thornton has a sack for them, the former Packers third-round pick.
Yeah.
So contributions coming from wherever, though, and that's something the Packers are going to have to be really aware of when they go into this game.
Yeah, for sure, and I think from an offensive standpoint, obviously the Packers would like to get off to a great start, try to take that crowd out of the game, but I think you and I both agree, no matter how this game starts in the first quarter, this is going to be a four-quarter game.
Definitely.
This thing is coming right down to the end for a division championship, so why not? But with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.